Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
As it pertains to the Jets, you're starting to get this feeling at 0-2 after a very good, very encouraging week one, and then we saw what happened last year, and now no Justin Fields. You're starting to get this feeling that there's pressure. Maybe pressure's not the right word, but the dark cloud of the New York Jets is starting to come toward Aaron Glenn, and sooner than later, BT, it feels like he's going to need to start winning some of these games to hold that cloud off.
You know what's happening? The nice stories are done being written. I mean, you know, Aaron Glenn, the former Jet, Aaron Glenn, the Bill Parcells protege. Now we start to evaluate Aaron Glenn on what he is as a football coach. And it's very early, and I think I still have a lot of faith in Aaron Glenn for sure. I think that he's going to get this thing cranked around. It's not going to be easy. But the thing that was very appealing about Aaron, like when he first took command here, Sal, is that, you know, he was refreshingly in charge. Like right away, you got the sense that Aaron Glenn, you know, had a focus and a business-like mentality. Really the opposite of Robert Saleh, where he stepped to the front of the Jets building and you felt like the leadership was in good hands. Now, it's too early after two games to say that it's the right choice, it's not the right choice, but here's what we know. You know, he's a defensive guy. The Jets have a lot of good defensive players. They've given up 30 points in both games. They've yet to really get rid of all the penalties that we've talked about. And, you know, the deeper that this thing goes, you have to worry about all the other stuff. And like, we all know what I mean when I say stuff. All the other stuff that just seems to work its way onto the Jets' radar, and you've got to be a special person to kind of stifle that. So the quicker that this man could get a win, the better.
Yeah, I do think he is that special person that could stifle it. However, there is a reason why many good coaches have failed here, even good quarterbacks have failed here, but yet went on to have success elsewhere. He's battling, Glenn is in this particular case, battling the history. He's battling New York, the media. Like, there's a lot, and then battling the opponents, obviously, each Sunday. Like, there's a lot of factors at play that go into that negative cloud that at some point, you know, you're going to have to be given the leeway to get over it. And I don't think he's certainly not on a hot seat in year one. But the fact that he was the media darling in the offseason and loved all the quotes, and then they go out there and perform the way that they do, losing both the games. You could say, yeah, week one was a moral victory and great, but then they wash it down with getting beaten. By the way, Miami's performance last night did not help the Jets. Where Miami did what maybe the Jets could have done or should have, what we expected them to do, make it a competitive game. Remember, the Jets were at home, Miami on the road, playing a tighter game against Buffalo. So that, to me, doesn't make the Jets look good. The losing is going to create more problems and chaos, and that is what we're going to really learn about Glenn. He's got to stay true to himself. I don't want to see him bending, folding, mincing. I don't want to see any of it. Stay true to himself, but ultimately, they've got to have some kind of results to help him get there eventually.
Well, I mean, he's in a unique spot in this regard. Like, you look at all the Jets, or at least a lot of the Jets coaches that had these massive rebuilds, right? You know, obviously Parcells coming in for Kotite is the biggest one when the Jets came off a 3-win season and a 1-win season and back-to-back in 95-96. So it's a million years ago, we all know that, but that was the biggest rebuild job. I in a lot of ways, Sal, I think that it's almost a disservice to Aaron Glenn, because when we talk about this Jets team, going back to why Aaron Rodgers came, you know, a couple of years ago in the first place, it was because they were on the precipice of being very good because the Jets had a lot of talent.
Right.
And I think that almost offsets how big of a rebuilding job this is. Like, they're two very separate things. Number one, is there some talent in the building? And the answer is undeniably yes. I think everybody knows that. But the greater issue is, how do you rid the stench of 15 years of losing? And I think because there are some big names and some good players here, Sauce, Garrett, Q, you know, we know the names. We tend to overlook just how big of a rebuild this is, and maybe it's unrealistic as to what we think Aaron Glenn could do in year one.
Yeah, well, that's why you've heard me. I'm trying to be as fair as possible with Aaron Glenn and the Jets. I'm not judging their season on results. However, other people are. And when you're dealing with the history, when you're dealing with the New York media and the pressure that comes along with it, maybe the biggest part, and this is why I wanted Pete Carroll here, you referenced Parcells. What's the difference with Pete Carroll and Bill Parcells versus Aaron Glenn? Those guys were proven winners. It's not that Aaron Glenn can never be a winner. It's that we don't know his track record. There is none. So if Bill Parcells could come in here and say it his way or the highway, it's based with, like, there's a lot there. There's merit to it because he's been a winner before at the highest of levels. That's why I said Pete Carroll, because if you hire Pete Carroll, now that eliminates the unknown question of is this the right guy? And if things go wrong, Pete Carroll's going to be positive. He knows how to get through it because he's done it before. So he's earned the benefit of the doubt. Whereas a rookie head coach, as promising as he may be, Todd Bowles, Aaron Glenn, Robert Saleh, like, pick one, doesn't matter. They haven't earned that because it's a first-time thing. So that's also a part that Glenn's dealing with, which, to me, if you're a first-time head coach and you have all this losing to overcome and you're dealing with the New York media, you better start winning sooner than later. And if you're looking at the Jets' schedule and now no starting quarterback here, dude, Bucks are good. All of a sudden, Miami, to me, is not a layup that we thought maybe it would be. The Jets got to win. These next 3 weeks are imperative that the Jets come away with, in my mind, BT, at least a couple of wins.
Yeah, and I think it's got to start with the defense here. I mean, I almost think I would feel better if the Jets lost, you know, if they were still 0-2, but they lost two games 17-6.
Right.
Like, nobody really knows, and we know that Justin Fields is not playing this week, but nobody really knows what he's going to be when he, you know, when he comes back, and if he's here beyond this year, because the Jets actually could get out of his contract after this year. It's a fairly minimal 20-year investment in a mid-20s quarterback with some talent, and they kicked the tires, and I like what they did with Joe. I think it's a smart move, rather than latching on to some retread.
He was great in week one, awful week two. Okay, so maybe somewhere in between.
Yeah, I was going to say, the answer is probably somewhere in between, but to me, like, the Jets defense, I really think if Aaron Glenn's going to get this thing cranked around, turned around fast, it's got to start with the things that he sold us on at the outset, and that was, you know, removing the team of dumb mistakes and selfish mistakes and penalties. And I don't want to get too, you know, matchup drift, certainly in the first segment of the show here, but I'll just say this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line, Sal, is absolutely decimated.
Yeah, I know.
It's decimated.
And look, even with Tyrod, I was talking about this a little bit yesterday. Like, Tyrod Taylor is a proven winner.
Absolutely.
He's a proven pro quarterback. Exactly right. And maybe even better at throwing the football, making plays through the air than Justin Fields. Obviously not the dual threat that Fields could be at his peak. And obviously, you know, older and toward the end of his career, where Fields is still in the prime of his career. So there's a drop-off. There's a reason why Fields is a starter and Tyrod isn't. Tyrod Taylor has been a successful starter in the NFL. So I don't think the chances drop that significantly from, in my mind, the Jets being able to go in there and win this game against Tampa Bay, who's a very good football team, but as you mentioned, banged up on the offensive line. Hey, they got to start winning some games. The other part of it, to your point about the defense, people starting to talk about Wilkes. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, but Glenn chose Wilkes.
Mm-hmm.
So whether Boomer likes him or not, or you or I like him or don't, whatever, or the callers like him, that shouldn't matter. Glenn chose him. It's 2 weeks. Wilkes has been proven to be a solid defensive coordinator to a point where he's gotten opportunities as head coach, obviously. But leave it alone, because this is how things get bad. Jets lose week 3 to the Bucs. Jets lose to the Cowboys, even if they beat the Dolphins, whatever. And the losing starts them out. Defense isn't great. And then Woody hears the media and the fans. Then he maybe wants to do something about it. And then you start getting your hands involved in Glenn's coaching staff. Now you're upsetting Glenn. Like, I'm not saying that this is going to happen this year, but that's the path to disaster, which we've seen too many times. Layoff.
Yeah. Well, and then, listen, that's why, let's face it, Sal, that's why the Jets job really is one of the worst jobs in football. Because when things go wrong, it goes wrong nine levels deeper than every other franchise, just about, because of the ownership, because of the history, because of the tortured fan base. Listen, God, this is not a situation. We can't forget this, Sal. This is not a situation. We'll get to the calls, obviously, here. Jet fans, listen, you got to show something this week. You really have to. Yeah. This is not a situation where Aaron Glenn walked in and they've got, you know, seven rookies playing on defense. They got some big names. Now they got a couple of guys who are making big bucks. Sauce got paid. Glenn's a defensive guy. Steve Wilks, to your point, the coordinator, is a former head coach. You got to start figuring this out. Otherwise, as much as we all believe and love and are rooting for Aaron Glenn, one thing we know about the tsunami of Jets negativity, I don't care who you are, if you don't get off on the right foot, it's going to derail and eventually swallow you up like it does everybody else.
I do trust, though, that of all the recent examples that have failed, Glenn has the right attitude and is tougher than anybody else mentally to be able to deal with it.
Me too, because he's been here. He gets it.
Right. The problem is those things get away from you quickly when other people start meddling if you continue to lose. At the very least, if they don't get a win, they've got to show more of what they looked like in week one than week two. Otherwise, this thing could go off the rails rather quickly. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Eric starts us off in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
Sal, BT. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
Glad to have you back, BT. Thanks. Good, you're feeling better. You're feeling much better than you did.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Earlier this week, so
thank you.
There you go.
Thanks, man. I missed it. Thank you. What's going on?
On our Jets, man, I didn't come into this season with unreasonable expectations, right? I mean, these first two games, I didn't necessarily expect to win. I was pleasantly surprised in week one, but you kind of hit what you know, my issue is with this Jets team is it's not even the wins and the losses. It's how they show up. I mean, we're not going to win games where we're giving up 34 and 30 points respectively. That's never going to happen. This team is not built that way. So to me, with Tyrod Taylor, does present a different opportunity, I think, at quarterback to throw the ball, because let's be honest, Bowles knows exactly what the Jets are going to do. They're going to try to run the football, and he's going to pin their ears back, and he's going to send everybody, which is exactly what Buffalo did last week. We couldn't run the ball.
Yeah.
Justin Fields clearly has a struggle throwing the ball and establishing a passing game. So if this team is going to be one-dimensional, that's going to be a problem on offense. And then defense, I don't know what is happening with Steve Wilks. None of it looks creative. I can see what he's doing. So these teams like Aaron Rodgers and then in Buffalo with
Josh.
With Josh Allen, the league MVP. I mean, he's going to pick these guys apart, and he's going to see what this guy's doing. So to me, like, I understand Steve Wilks has experience, but he hasn't shown it in these past 2 weeks.
No.
And this team has to show up differently. If they can, you know, keep this game close, to your point, if it's a low-scoring game, 20-17, whatever, they cover the spread and lose, I'm fine with that. You know, I'm not expecting, you know, this team to win 8, 9, 10 games. I mean, we need a quarterback. The Jets are going to draft in the top five likely.
All right, fair, and thank you for the call, Eric. Look, I get it, BT. And after week one, honestly, even I was like, I mean, if Fields plays like that, I didn't believe that he could. But if he does play like that, maybe they can win 8 or 9 games. And by the way, their schedule really does soften up in the second part of the year. And that's where you want to see, in the beginning, of, especially in today's day and age in the NFL with no preseason, you want to start to see your team figure out who they are. Then, by the second half of the schedule, you want to see them, in the jet spot, I'm not talking about every team, in the jet spot, then you want to see them say, okay, this is who we are, this is how we're now going to start to win games, and then give you hope, close out strong, give you reason to believe that next year you could build off of it. So all that is still there for the Jets. I'm with you. Like, I don't need them to necessarily win. I think of the next three, they've got to win at least one. But just get back to playing competitive, competent football while trying to establish your identity for this season.
Yeah, and listen, that's what it's about. Eventually, you're going to need a win to reinforce the messaging that's going on the practice field and inside the film room and inside the building. I mean, otherwise it becomes hollow and everybody's like, okay, well, it sounds good, but, you know, we're 0-7, we're 1-9. I'm not even saying the Jets, anybody. We're 1-12. You know, what? How much positivity can I actually take from what's being said? At some point, you need something tangible
right.
to present itself. And really, even though they lost the Steelers game, there was, to me, it was tangible enough where, like, it felt good, it looked different, but it was such a stark reversal, such a quick flip where it was dispiriting. And I think we're going to get a sense, and early, we're not going nuts, an early look at, you know, how Aaron's able to reprogram a building after a gut punch. And that's one of the steps you got to take as a young head coach. I don't necessarily have a feel for which Jet team comes out on Sunday. I don't know because there's no evidence here with Aaron as a coach. But I'll tell you this, if we're sitting here on Monday and they lose 30-7, it's going to feel really wrong. It's going to feel off.
Everybody, if that is the case, even the biggest Aaron Glenn supporters are going to feel like, uh-oh, here we go again. And there's no way to prevent that because we've seen it happen too many times.
Yeah.
That is a tsunami that is tough to stop. Once you get to that level, again, it's only week 3. I'm not saying he's going to be fired or anything like that, but you know what's going to happen.
That's the energy that gets out of control.
It does. And then it's going to be about one of the coordinators. In this particular case, Wilkes is going to be the groundwork is already being laid. Like, Wilkes is going to be the first guy on the chopping block. People look at him as a coach who's been fired, a failed head coach before. Defense is underachieving through 2 weeks. He's going to be the first guy up. To me, that would be a disaster to get involved with Aaron Glenn's coaching staff. And the fact that we're even talking about it entering week 3 is already a problem. Glenn needs to figure out a way to stop that now by getting his team to play on Sunday. Anthony's calling from Harlem. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant.
Good morning, boys. Happy Football Friday.
You too.
Listen, you know how I feel about Aaron Glenn, and I think it's going to take a lot of patience in this town because it's going to take time to turn this. But here's what I want to see on Sunday, right? I've seen this defense in 2 games get teams in the 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 9. And stubbornly, I don't know if it's Glenn or it's Wilkes, they're just saying, we're playing man-to-man. And a good quarterback like Baker's going to go, there's Brandon Stevens on Amika Ibuka, and he's going to pick on that one guy. Now, I want to see Glenn this week. I don't want to see him take over the defense, but I want to see him maybe talk to Wilkes and say, hey, let's be a little more diverse. Let's do some different things. Let's disguise some coverages. Because I think we're playing too much man-to-man, and maybe we're not built to do that. That's what a good head coach should do. He should help his coordinator out and coach. I want to see them do that this year. I want to see him coach it up this week and make the game close. That's what I'd like to see.
One thing, Ian, and thanks for the call. I'm already hearing some excuses. I don't know if you guys caught this, but basically Steve Wilkes was saying, well, it's not really schematical. It's, basically saying guys aren't in the right spot. I mean, it's a little early to say that. I mean, you don't really have the equity in that room. So if you're a Jet defensive player and you've got a first-year defensive coordinator basically saying, it ain't me, it's you. I mean, you know, you do run the risk of alienating some of those players here.
Yeah, I know.
It's early to do that.
But I'd rather see the Jets and their coaching staff lay the foundation of making it on the players. We're here. Like, if I'm Aaron Glenn, we're here. They hired me to do this job. I know how to get the job done. I need my time to get the job done. I hire these people because I believe in them, our staff. Let us do what we need to do. Coach the way we need to coach. Say what we need to say. Like, I would not be trying to meddle in any of that. Now, the media's job is, part of it, the reporters, they're going to go try and look for any angle that they possibly can. I would try to be as patient as possible. my advice or warning to Aaron Glenn is that if you don't start winning, they're going to be coming for you, your staff, and that creates that toxic environment that has led to so many failures over and over again with this organization or even in this city with teams failing.
Well, that's something I want to get into coming up next year. I thought that Aaron Glenn made a mistake earlier in the week here. You and I was basically on my deathbed for 2 days. We did text about this, so I want to get into that a little bit, and it's something that he's got to rectify, and it's not necessarily a fatal mistake, but it could be if he keeps going back to it. So we could get to that, obviously.
But we focus here on the Jets to start the show, BT, and I know you wanted to get into Aaron Glenn. You know, the way that he handles the media, I'm fine with it, but it's going to rub people the wrong way if you continue to lose when he keeps referencing, I got to watch the tape, and being terse and not giving the answers to the media.
Yeah, it's got a very short shelf life there. I really hope that he gets away from that. Not that he's got to become, you know, overly chatty and just expand on everything and just divulge game plans. I'm not saying that, but that's just, it's going to be a rough look for Aaron moving forward if the results don't come. Now, if the results do come, then you get away with it, like Bill Belichick here. But you see, it's even deeper than just him, I think, maybe presenting a little bit of a roadblock to the media and then maybe them trying to get some answers downstream that leads to conflict and friction. I just don't want to see him complicate his job. And when he says, got to look at the tape, well, let's say if the Jets don't play well against the Buccaneers this weekend, right? Okay. Well, now, hey, Coach, you know, you said you had a look at the tape last week. What did you see from the tape last week that wasn't fixed this week? It just opens up a different set of questions. So it's not so much, Sal, I think when people hear this, they're like, well, you're trying to be like Bill Belichick. That's not going to work. Yeah, to an extent, it's a little bit of a turnoff, but that's not really the big thing for me. The big thing for me is that I think it gives people unnecessary ammunition down the road to make Aaron Glenn's life and the locker room tougher.
Yeah, and we've seen that be a problem before. Now, just in case nobody's familiar with it or some people are like, what the hell are these guys talking about? Aaron Glenn, after the game on, you know, last Sunday, week two, he was asked about Justin Fields' performance. He said, quote, I have to watch the tape. Asked about how Tyrod Taylor played, quote, I have to watch the tape. Asked about the run defense, and again, he said, I have to watch the tape. Now, the example that comes to mind to me is Eric Mangini, because I believe that's the one that the Jets let get away that could have been a tremendous head coach here for a long time. Now, Mangini made his own bed because he acted like Bill Belichick, and without the wins to back it up, nobody wanted to hear it. And he was an inexperienced guy, didn't have the resume, didn't have the ultimate success here. We know he had the one successful season, whatever. But then when things started to go the wrong way, his Belichickian act wore thin, and that's it. And you can't get away with that if you don't have the resume or the wins. You need one or the other. Glenn doesn't have the resume because this is his first time getting an opportunity to be a head coach, and he's 0-2 so far. So it's hard to have that tough guy, Parcells, Belichick attitude without the resume, and you can just make it. You could still be the guy in charge and a tough guy,
yeah,
but you can make it easier on yourself by not being so adamant and just, I got to watch the tape. Like, be like, hey, you know what? I'm not 100% sure. I thought our run defense could be better, certainly, but let me watch the tape before I give you details.
Yeah, like, just throw him a bone. There's a little in between there. Listen, I think that there's two things that you need to at least put yourself in a position to be successful as a coach in this city. Number one, you've got to be authentic. You've got to be yourself, okay? And number two, you've got to be as transparent as possible, again, without divulging state secrets, which would be a detriment to what you try to do as a team. Now, if I'm up there and I'm Aaron Glenn and there's like a fade pattern. The Jets are down by six and they throw a fade to Garrett Wilson and there's a lot of contact and they don't throw the flag. And I'm at the press conference. Hey, Aaron, was that a penalty? Was that a penalty? Was that a penalty? And that's where I could say, guys, I got to look at the tape again. I got to really look at the tape before I start throwing people under the bus. You know, I thought we had the right play, but I got to look at the tape. When Justin Fields is 3-for-11 and Mitch Trubisky comes off the bench and throws a 32-yard dime and has more yards than your starting quarterback did in the game, I don't know how much tape you got to watch to at least throw a bone and say, guys, we didn't play well.
Right.
We didn't play well. That's not the standard. We got a long way to go. So, like, just that's why I go back to the authenticity, which I believe Aaron Glenn absolutely is and wants to be and is. I believe he's the leader of men. And the transparency, that's got to come a little bit more. And if they meet in the middle, I think he's going to be successful.
You know, think about it. He's watching the game. I know that he's not watching every single play and evaluating every player on every play before watching the tape in game. But come on, you're watching the game. You know what's going on. You see what's happening. You know your team's getting steamrolled. You know you can't get a stop. You know guys are making mistakes. Like, you could give enough. Because it's not just Aaron Glenn. A lot of coaches, well, I got to watch the tape. Well, I got no bleep. Like, we get it. Okay, great. Would we all benefit from sitting down with a film session, watching the game, breaking it down? Of course. But we also watch the game, and you could give an opinion and give something on watching the game in real time. And then you could even back it up, piggyback it, the word of the week, with saying, you know what, but I do want to watch the tape just to see exactly what was going on there. But here's what I saw from the field.
Well, that's why I say when you're so, you know, woefully bad at your job, as Justin Fields was in week two, there's really not a whole lot to interpret. And we saw the opening drive on the third down and 7 or 8, whatever it was, to Garrett Wilson. He missed him by 5 yards. I mean, that you could be in the upper tank of the stadium with 7 beers in you.
Yeah,
you don't need to look at the film to know that he was awful.
You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. This week's game of the week, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots. Back to the phones. Josh is calling from Long Island. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Sal, BT, what's going on, fellas?
How are you?
Hey, Josh.
Good, good. Yeah, man, I don't know if you guys, I called a couple months back. I'm the guy who spoke to his therapist about Tom Thibodeau's firing. So, big sports fan. I live and breathe it. Been a Jets fan for over 30 years. And I have to come on the air and say I'm hanging him up. I'm trading in my green and white. Yeah,
hopefully not blue and white.
No, man. I'm gonna...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
I'm going to go Bills, man. I've been a Bills fan. I've supported them.
Josh,
and
what are you doing?
Listen, Josh. I know. But listen, every year, I listen to you guys forever.
Okay.
Every year we do this.
Yeah, no.
Oh, if just Fields, if Woody Johnson, if Aaron Rodgers, they suck. They suck every year. We can spin ourselves in circles.
We do.
And I know. And like, look, you wouldn't have a job if we didn't sit around and talk about, like, what the hell are the Jets doing?
Well, we'd have a job. I don't know if it would be this job, but yeah, we do
somewhere. Fair. Well, you know, I'm holding my newborn son. I'm on paternity leave. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, do I want this guy to spend his 30 years, first 30 years
on the Josh Allen Binky.
Rooting. That's it. And
but
look,
what about
I've been
you?
A lifelong Knicks fan.
Hold on.
What about?
Josh, it's one thing for the little guy, God bless him, that you're holding here, but think about you. The day that the Jets crack through, and with your luck, it's going to coincide when the Bills suck. So, I mean, come on, man. There's no way. I don't believe you. There's no way you are not tapping out. You're not. No, you're not.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you something. I said this to. I'm going to say what I told you to my family, and I came out. I was like, "This is a big decision. I'm doing it." And here's why. If the Jets were to even win a championship in a year or two or three or four or five, I don't know that it would undo the 30-plus years of absolute misery.
I get it, dude.
I just don't think it would undo it. Whereas the Knicks, if the Knicks win, I'm along for the ride till I die.
What's the difference?
Yeah, hold on now. The Knicks were dead for 20-plus years. Josh, after having some success, and thank you for the call, Like, I just can't get behind that as a fan. I understand the pain and the punishment and the frustration. You know, we talk about this a lot. What we do is supposed to be an escape from the harsh reality of the world's problems. Like, everybody's got issues, just to what extent, what you're dealing with. You deal with stuff. I deal with stuff. Everybody listening deals with stuff. Like, sports is supposed to be the escape.
Yeah.
And when you get aggravated on a nonstop basis watching the Mets, let's say, or the Jets or the Knicks for 20 years, like, you don't really need that extra pain involved. However, it is impossible to really take that fandom out. You could say you're going to transition to be a Bills fan.
Yeah, I don't believe him. There's no way.
You can't. The time that you invest in rooting for a team is what makes you a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You are, whether you like it or not, Josh, a Jets fan. That's not going to change. It may get less, the GAF meter. It gets less as you get older, you have a baby, God bless your baby, you know, real issues start to happen, you start losing people, whatever. The GAF meter comes down a little bit, give a bleep, you can spell it out for you. So that comes down a little bit, but you're always going to be a fan of your team.
I think it's easier to just tap out and say, I hate sports, rather than going on to another team.
Right.
That to me, that's impossible. There's no way you could root for another team. How do you do that?
You don't.
Does anybody have the...
You could tap out, and then that's it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if the Jets have driven you to such a place of despair, which, by the way, they have.
I mean, they've tested the limits.
I'd say they have it. I mean, they push it like anybody. Yeah, it's amazing what they do to us. My God, it's week three. Our brain's already twisted in knots. I hate them. I love them. I hate them. I'm everything with them. But it's easier to say, I'm done with sports, or I'm done with football, specific to the last call, then I'm going to become a Bills fan or a Dolphins fan or a Cowboys fan. I don't believe you.
Or just watch like your fantasy team or the Red Zone channel so you can get your fix of sports if you love football. But you're not going to, you can't, it's impossible to be it. I can sit here today and say, I am choosing not to be a fan of whatever team, and I'm going to pick a new team. It just doesn't work like
There's
that.
There's no way.
It takes
Unless
years.
You weren't, well, maybe we're tapping into, unless you wasn't a good fan to begin with. I think if you're a little bit of a fringe, flimsy fan, well, then maybe it's easier to say I'm done.
No, I mean, maybe he's...
If you're a real fan.
Some people are more killable than others.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And in his particular case, he's had enough.
He's down.
I could get it.
Week two, he's down?
You can only get kicked in the nuts so many times. See,
but it's week two.
Right, if you've survived the last 30 years, whatever it may be, now's not the time to quit it.
I understand there's a time and a place for that phone call. I don't know that today's the time nor the place.
Right, now with Aaron Glenn going into week three. Johnny's calling from Mattawa. What's up, Johnny? Right, give it another week. Yeah. What's up, Johnny?
Johnny.
Hey guys, yo, who was that guy? That's illegal. Mm-hmm. You cannot do that. 30 years, whatever. You cannot do that. Bills, you cannot do that. Sorry to say, we never do that. That's illegal.
And by the way, Johnny, what I would say, and thank you for the call, and we agree with you, not kind of, we do agree with you there. The grass is always greener. And while the Bills' grass may be a lot greener than the Jets, certainly in recent years, the Bills haven't even gotten to a Super Bowl yet with Josh Allen. The Bills fan base lost four straight Super Bowls.
But they do have a new stadium coming. They do have a Hall of Fame quarterback. Yeah, they are pretty appealing.
I understand that. I'm not saying it's not more appealing than the Jets. Nobody would argue that.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that we, as a group, pick a sport, pick a team. The majority of us are rooting for teams that ultimately fall short of the goal. Even the Yankees, the winningest franchise in sports, like, they haven't won a World Series since 2009, so there's a lot of good, but how many times do we sit here ourselves and be like, this is not good enough, and they need to fire this guy?
Yeah, we complain all the time.
Okay, and that's the most successful team, and they complain all the time. So where are you going that's guaranteed? Oh, I'm going to go root for this team. I'm going to root for that team. Yeah, the Warriors had their window in the NBA. The Chiefs had their window. That might be over, and those windows are great. The Patriots had their window. How about now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a matter of timing for whatever fan base you choose, timing throughout the course of your life for that one little window.
Imagine being as devout a Red Sox fan as you could possibly muster up. You know, woven in the DNA, New England, multiple generations, grandfather on the porch with lemonade, hearing Ted Williams on the radio, fuzzy. And then all of a sudden, you're like, I can't take it anymore. I'm at my wit's end. I'm done.
It's been 100 years.
Yeah. And then you become a Yankees fan. And you're a Yankees fan. And you watch, you know, grand slams and Javi Vasquez and Kevin Brown get lit up. And Damon do his thing as a Red Sox. And you watch the Yankees collapse in 2004. And now you're no longer a Red Sox fan. Now you're a Yankee fan. Like, so The juxtaposition of switching teams, it is unrealistic. Now, you want to tap out and stop being a football fan, okay, which I don't believe you'll do either. But to go to a different team, that last caller, you could take this to the bank. You become a Bills fan. I don't know when, but the Jets and the Bills will eventually meet in the AFC Championship game. The Jets will win, and you'll still lose.
Joe is in Plainview. Joe?
How you doing, guys? I know you're not trying to harp on this guy again, but now I'm calling as a lifelong Bills fan here. And what this guy doesn't realize is from my age 18 to 35 years old, we were not in the playoffs. We had a 17-year drought. And, you know, part of sports is going through those terrible times. So then when we're here we are now, and yes, we haven't been to a Super Bowl with Josh and yada yada, and we've had some heartbreak, but switching teams in your own division is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, just drop the sport altogether.
Agreed.
I'll let you guys discuss.
You know, it's impossible, and thank you for the call, Joe. All those things that Joe lived through as a Bills fan from 18 years, whatever, or however old he was when he became a Bills fan on, is what makes him a fan. That's what defines fan. I can't just wake up and say, poof, today I'm a Bills fan, and I'm going to ride the wave of Josh Allen and the undefeated Buffalo Bills. And when they win the Super Bowl, or if they get to and win the Super Bowl, yay, my team did it. Like, there's no way it would mean what it means to...
I don't think it can mean anything.
Of course not.
Not only would it not mean or match the degree that it would if you stayed with the original team, I don't know how it resonates at all.
It doesn't. And that's why I tell you, like, we joked about this, and I know you guys are giving me crap for it, about wearing the Islanders jersey. Oh, how could a Rangers fan wear the Islanders jersey? And I understand that mentality. What I'm saying is, just because I wear a piece of laundry, it doesn't erase the sweat and tears and time and energy and passion I put into rooting for the Rangers. Like, you can wear whatever you want. I could say in my mind, you know what? I'm an Islanders fan now. Their owner's great. I like the way that they treat me. The Rangers on a downswing. I can't get behind it. Whatever it may be. Mm. Now, I'm not. Like, you can't choose fandom. You choose that at a very young age.
It chooses you in a lot of ways.
However you became a fan of your team at a young age, that will never change.
I'll give you a real quick good example, though. There's a lot of guys who didn't do this, but there's some guys I grew up with, and I'm talking about the biggest St. John's fans in the world.
Right.
Everybody wanted to be Mullen. Everybody played CYO. Everybody had the St. John's starter jacket. Everybody had the red and white Nike dunks. Everybody, Johnny's geared up. Back from Mullen. Okay. And then... over the years, you know, they were invisible, and the passion waned. Some of those guys I grew up with, like, I can't watch St. John's anymore. And I understood. Right. I get it. There's really nothing to watch. Well, if St. John's is in the Final Four this year, or the Sweet 16, or the Elite Eight, or they win another Big East championship, whatever it might be, is it going to resonate the way it's going to for those who never tapped out?
No.
The answer is no.
No.
So it's not a fun fight. It's not a fair fight. And there's no guarantee that you actually win the fight, but if you do, there's nothing better.
Look, there's a big difference between losing a little bit on the GAF meter as a fan as you get older and progress, whether it's because you're beaten down, whether it's because you got other priorities, whatever it may be. That's because I know I've gone through that, so that's understandable, but it's not as rewarding then when your team eventually does come out of it and has some success. You lose a part of your... the joy that you would have had. Also, the older you get, the worse it is anyway. Like, if it happened when you're 15 or 20, your team wins, you enjoy that a lot more than you do if it happens when you're 50 or 60,
I would assume. When you're 60, you're probably just sitting on your couch by yourself. Like, you know, you're not even going nuts. When you're 20, you're going out of your mind.
That's exactly right.
Last night, his changeup was insane. It's a good win. Yanks, I like that they win without any home runs, 7-0. Fried's had a really big first year with the Yankees, 18-5 now. And here we go. I mean, I still don't think that they catch the Jays, but three more at Camden and then six in the Bronx with the White Sox and the Orioles to wrap up the regular season.
You know, that's what I was going to ask you, because I have been thinking the Yankees are going to win the division all along. And then earlier this week, it's like, all right, well, whatever. They can't. They blew the game to the Twins. They were five back. They don't have the tiebreaker. Well, now it's three back. All right. They still don't have the tiebreaker. However, like, you can make an argument. The way the Yanks are rolling right now, maybe playing their best baseball of the season, period. But the Yanks are rolling right now. And like, are they going to lose any more than a game? I think there's a good chance they go 8-1 here. Dude, they get the Orioles stink. The Orioles and White Sox?
Let me see. So
I think there's a realistic chance they could go 8-1 here. Let's say 7-2 at worst.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto still got Boston 72. On their schedule. I'll pull up Toronto's schedule here real quick.
Oh, that's what I was doing. So you got them? Okay.
I'll get that. I'll get Toronto's schedule here.
Right.
So let's say the Yankees go 7-2. So the three back, so they would need to gain four games because they don't have the tiebreaker. Toronto's got three in Kansas City, three versus Boston, three versus Tampa. Dude, those are like...
Those are tricky games,
Tampa's
man.
Tampa's dangerous. Boston is very dangerous. Yep. And even Kansas City, like...
Feisty.
They can't win two out of three. I mean, you know... I know the Blue Jays have been good, but there's a so what would the if the Yankees go 7-2, the Jays would have to go what? Do the math, PT.
You're dumb. My head's barely. I'm still cloudy.
Yeah, I'm not feeling well today either.
7-2. Oh God, I don't think I could do this. If there was a gun pointed to my head. I have no
idea. Somebody help us out here. So because they do have to pick up four games in the final nine.
Correct.
So that would mean that to pick up four games out of so the Jays would have to go
three.
Yeah, 3-6 would get the Yankees four right. So let's say they win one at Kansas City. Yeah, dude, I mean,
listen, mathematically, it's very possible.
Only because the Yanks, and by the way, the Yanks could go 8-1. We're giving 7-2.
They could. I mean, I'm surprised we're here. I didn't see it. You know, when you really look back, and even going back to the way the Red Sox series ended on Sunday night, and then that first loss to the Twins, which was 7-0, which was very disappointing. You know, Rodon pitched pretty well, but they just kicked it around, and the bullpen came in with a gas can. No, but they've responded nicely. And this is the one thing that we did point to, where the Yankees have a built-in soft cushion. Now, the Orioles were playing much better baseball. That's one thing that I always parsed it with. Like, well, the Orioles aren't as bad as they were, and the White Sox aren't as bad as they were. But, I mean, geez, if you want to win a division, you can't ask for a better setup here.
Correct. And really, by the way, at this point, like, nobody's expecting them to win the division. I'm just saying that because of their schedule, I don't know if I would definitively say it's over at this point. Because I can see the Yankees going 8-1 and then putting the pressure on Toronto. Yankees just keep winning here, put the pressure on Toronto to where they have to go out there and win, you know, four or five games.
Okay, so this is interesting. I just popped up that model that I used throughout. I'm gonna give you the Mets here as well, real quick too. And we'll get back to the football call. So the Yankees, if I said, Sal, what do you think their divisional percentage chance is right now?
Wow. To win the division?
Yeah.
55?
9%.
Oh, wow. I knew I was going high.
I don't know if I would have gone quite as high as 50, but 9 is ridiculous. All right, so they're projected to win 91.7 games. I would think they go slightly over that. And just to dot the I's here with the Mets are 72.1% to be a playoff to be a postseason team.
72, huh?
72.1.
That's come way down. I feel like
72.1% with an 83.5 win total projection.
What side are you using there?
CBS. Well, it's through CBS. It's a vehicle through CBS Sports. Sportsline.
On ESPN, just in the standings, they have this playoff percentage.
They do.
That's 86.6% to make the playoffs.
Okay. That's so a different one there. There you go. Yeah. Take that one. It's better.
I don't see the division one for the Yanks on here, but obviously 99%. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll turn our attention to the Giants when we come back. We'll continue with the calls on the Jets as well ahead of their Week 3 matchup in Tampa. But let's talk some Gents football as the Giants will be hosting the Chiefs, their home opener, Sunday Night Football. We'll have Justin Tuck next hour as well. We'll come back. We'll get you calls in talking some Giants and Jets football. 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.